Yeah. About once a year, we take an opportunity to sit down and talk about Shepherd of the Hills. We don't do that very much. Most of our time is spent talking about what God is doing in the world, and we do that on purpose. But we've come together as a church, and so I wanted to take a few minutes at the beginning of our time together before we turn to a new study in the book of Corinthians to talk a little bit about Shepherd of the Hills. We call it a kitchen talk. We've had a number of them over the years. We do that because we realize that when we have something important to talk about, we pull up the chairs in the kitchen, and as families, we talk about things of importance. And so we want to do that a little bit today, just kind of give you guys a vision of where we are and where we're going and what we're doing. We do that because God's called us to a wonderful church. I just can't tell you how much I enjoy being here as a part of what God's doing in this community. It has been a phenomenal experience, and this is the beginning of my 12th year here, which is really weird to think about, but it is so fun for me to watch as people grow and are launched out in the love of God and Jesus Christ and in following His discipleship. That just thrills me to no end. And we do that because a number of years ago we made a commitment to follow Jesus into His ministry, and we follow that by living out God's great commandment. The great commandment was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And we're called to do that. And we live out God's great commandment in the world, and as we do so, we become a great church. It's sort of a byproduct, really. For those who focus on church, they find themselves, having a tough time. But when you focus on Christ and what God's doing in the world, you find yourself just joyfully following Him. So we want to live out Christ's great commandment. The second thing we want to do as a church is we want to live out His great commission. He calls us to go into the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them to obey all that He has commanded you. And so following those two things, we've really organized the church around what does it mean to follow Christ into the world. Now, we did so by answering four questions a long time ago. They were seminal questions for us. I've mentioned them in here over and over again. They're four questions. The first one is this: what kind of people does God want us to send out into the world? So that on Monday morning they wake up and they're those kind of people. We had to answer that with the great commandment, the great commission. What kind of people do we want to send out in the world? That's the end result. It is not what kind of church we want to build, but what kind of people do we want to build? That's our heart. And that's what the heartbeat of the leaders of Shepherd of the Hills and the people of Shepherd of the Hills beats for, to see God do that in our midst. So we ask, what kind of people do we want to send out? The second question we ask is, what kind of church builds that kind of people, right? Because that's what the church is about. We're about equipping and building people, sending them out on Monday morning. We hope when they walk into the schools, they live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third question we ask is, what kind of leaders build that kind of church? And the fourth question we ask is, what kind of staff sets free those kind of leaders to build that kind of church, send out those kind of people? Whew. Get it? Well, that's our question. So we've been asking that for a long time. Now, we said there are five primary, things that are markers for a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first one is worship. And you see it out in the parking lot. You'll see all five of these out there on the banners that are out there. The second one is, we believe every disciple of Jesus Christ is actively growing. We believe every disciple of Jesus Christ connects with other Christians in deeper relationship. We believe every disciple of Jesus Christ serves out in the world somewhere. Somewhere. And the service is a part of everyone, every disciple of Jesus Christ's life. We believe that every disciple of Jesus Christ invites into two things. Number one, into a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, that we're out actively talking about our faith, because it's really life-giving, guys. It's not something we're trying to change somebody's political party. It's because this is where we found life. And so we just naturally talk about it. It's not anything weird. But we invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we invite them into our community. See? So we worship and we grow and we connect and we serve and we invite, and we really set up our whole church structure in order to do that. It is aligned to make that happen. In other words, if you were to go to a session meeting, that's where the elders go once a month and ask the question, how are we doing? Are we doing okay? Well, the way we do it is we walk through each of those pieces. How are we doing in worship? How are we doing in growing? Are we helping people grow? How are we doing in connecting people to one another? How are we doing in helping people serve? Are we providing enough opportunities for them to serve out in the world? How are we doing on inviting? You see, and all five of those become very important for us. And we ask those questions over and over and over again. And so they become so inculcated with who we are. It's just amazing. So we ask those questions. And we think, those are the things we want to do. When you open up those yellow pages, there's been somebody behind the scenes that asked the question, okay, are we doing this just to do something? Because we got to do something? No, we do it because this is what we want to see happen. Now, because of that, what's happened, and this is the byproduct of focusing on what God's doing in Jesus Christ in the life of people, is that we grow. It's not something we go, okay, we want to grow. That's not what we're about. What we want to do is we want to deploy people out in the world. And what happens is when you do that, people are naturally attracted to it. And we've been growing. This year, for instance, just in the last 6 months, our worship attendance has grown about 7 to 10% on average during the year. Now, we worship about 450 people on a Sunday morning. So just think in terms of 10%, that's another 50 people, right? And what happens is, this is the odd part of Shepherd of the Hills, is every time one of you shows up into our life together, a kid shows up. We're almost a one-to-one correspondence. I don't know what you're doing out there, but it's really amazing. Even when we bring somebody in who's retired, somebody comes in with three kids or, you know, something like that. It's just like one-to-one correspondence. We have kids and they're coming out the wazoo. So while you're sitting here, picture all the people in here. Now picture every one of you having a kid that's over there, right? And so we're growing, and we're growing, again, as a byproduct, not because. I'm excited about the ways in which we're growing. We had the 20-somethings from our congregation out to dinner at my house this summer, and we had about 20 of them, 25, I don't remember how many were there. But it was a great group, and they all walked in, and they go, I didn't know anybody else 20-something went to this church, you know? And they begin to discover each other, and a lot of them have formed a program over the last year and begun to grow, and it's been exciting. So, now, what's the challenge? Well, the challenge is, if you were to come to our elder meeting, we would go through those five and ask, how are we doing? But at the very bottom, we would have a piece down there that was called infrastructure. We couldn't think of a sexy name for it, so it's just what it's called. And really, the people who run it aren't very sexy anyway. So, no, I'm just kidding. But, I'm just kidding, guys, okay? All right. But, you know, it has to do with everything like personnel and facilities and finance and all those kind of things. And so it has all those kind of things. And we say that solely exists to make the other happen, right? It doesn't drive us. It's not what makes all the decisions for us. It solely exists in order to make it happen. Well, we've had some things that we have to take seriously. And we've seen the trajectory that's coming, because we knew as we built a healthy church, what was going to happen is God was going to bless us and people are going to walk in and they're going to say, where's my seat? And so we've been asking that question for a long time. And for those of you who are visitors today, I just want you to know that 5 years ago, we made that decision to buy some land out 290. We bought 70 acres out there. And what we did is we took the last 5 years and we've begun to build a master plan on that land. Now, it was predicated on one thing, and that was the roads, okay? You guys drive, right? Okay. Well, if you ever drive out 290, the only place where there's not a center turn lane, which makes it safe to turn, is by our property, okay? And so we entered in with a contract with the county that entered into the contract with the state, and I don't know how it happened. All I know is we wrote them a check for $180,000, and it disappeared somewhere. So they said, oh yeah, we're going to build you the road, okay? And it's supposed to be let this fall, but we can't do anything out there until that turn lane's in. So we've been, in some ways, waiting. But as a part of the waiting, what it's done is it's given us time to build a master plan to ask that question of infrastructure. How do we create the seats necessary, not just for you to sit in here on Sunday morning, but for every child you bring to provide the kind of child care and the kind of elementary program and the kind of middle school program, the kind of high school program that will launch your kids out to worship, grow, connect, serve, and invite. Okay? And so we've begun to work on that. And we got that master plan, and it came back about February. And many of you have seen it. We presented it in here. We presented it in a lot of different venues. It's a terrific plan. In it, we would build out those 70 acres with all sorts of the space we need in order to accomplish what God's called us to do. And it's about 120,000 square feet. That's a lot of space. If you want to know, our current location, including all the portables, is about 19,000 square feet. See? And so what we had to do was we realized we couldn't do the whole thing, so we had to break it down. And we had to ask the question, are we going to relocate everything here over there? It was a relocation question. Are we going to take what we do here, sell this property, and move out to that new property? In order to do that, our first phase would have to be about 30 to 35,000 square feet. Okay? And so what we did was we broke the larger plan down into a smaller plan of about 35,000 square feet. And then we asked what would it cost in order to build this. Now, when we did that, we knew that there was going to be some, well, infrastructure costs. We knew we were going to have to build roads, we were going to have to build turns, we were going to have to build the water system, and we were going to have to build the sewer system, and everything was necessary in order to build the big thing we were going to have to do in the first phase. Here's the deal. When we got back the cost estimate for that first phase of a relocation, we were looking at about $8 to $10 million. That's the first cost. Now, let me tell you about money in churches. We're all in this together, right? We're all in this together. We have a budget currently of about $850,000 a year. Your generous giving helps make all this happen. Your generous giving. Now, what consultants will tell you is you can raise between 2 and 3 times your annual budget. Somebody do the math. We're looking at about $1.6 to $2.4 million. Then if we sold this property, it would net us about $2.5 million. We would have about, well, let's say between $4.5 and $5 million in our pockets. But it would still require us to take on $3 to $5 million debt. And we knew that. And because this is a kitchen talk and we're sitting in the kitchen, we had to sit as a leader board and say, what do we want to do with this? Where's God taking us? We know we don't want to quit inviting. We never want to get to the point as a church where we say, tick-tock, the game's locked and nobody can get in it, right? That's what happens when churches quit inviting. They have essentially said, we're done. You can't be a part of us. And we said, we never want to get to that point. So we began to ask, are there any other ways? Do we have any other options? Is this it? Is a relocation the only way to do this? Or is there something else we could do? And so we began to ask that question in earnest, and we began to pray as a congregation, as a leadership team. And we began to look at different options. One of the options that raised itself up was by looking at a church in Kansas City called Colonial Presbyterian Church that had taken some risk and done some new things. And we began to kind of be attracted to what they're doing there. We looked at Menlo Park, which is out in California, and saw what they were doing there. And we thought, maybe this is something that we could take as a model. And it is essentially this, that we would have 2 services at this location and have a third at another. At a different time. And we realized it would do different things, but they call it multi-site churches. And the reason they call it multi-site churches is because it takes seriously the stewardship of our money. Because the question is, do we want to just build the next big thing, or do we want to take seriously the fact that God's sending us out into the world, and how do we want to do this? So we've begun over the last year to put together a team that's looked at our multi-site options. Could we, instead of relocating, which would mean take this whole church, sell it, move out there, could we migrate, for instance? In other words, could we build a smaller building out there where there would be a third worship service out on the 290 land, children's ministry out there, so that we would have 2 services here and a 3rd service there? And we really began to look at it. We realized that there were a lot of churches around the country that were doing it and doing it effectively. And here's what happens. It's 1 church, 2 locations, or 3 locations, where you take your DNA and you imprint it on wherever location they are. And we've taken that seriously. We're beginning to look at that. In fact, we've identified two places that our members live that we say would be at the edges of our ministry. You see, most of you come from within a 15-minute Sunday drive of this building. I say that because on a weekday, you know, a Sunday drive of 15 minutes, or a Monday drive of 15 minutes is like Costco, right? But on Sunday, you can drive farther than that. So we look at a 15-minute Sunday drive around here, and the idea is a multi-site is that we would plant a church that was us at the edges of that 15 minutes so that we could extend our ministry outside of that. We identified two areas. One was Buda, and the other was out 290 where the new land is. Now, we've been working on this project. And I wanted to tell you about that because we believe God's begun to guide us that direction. We don't have feet to it. That's what our multi-site teams are doing. They're building feet to this to see what it works like. But we believe it's a wise use of our stewardship. We know that to build that first phase on that first location is at this moment out of our reach. Unless, of course, one of you has won the lottery today and you want to give the earnings to our church. But we believe it's out of reach. But the second thing we believe is that it may be out of reach for a reason. It may be that we are called to pioneer something new in the Presbyterian Church. We've gone back to our presbytery, which is our broader group of churches, and said, we're thinking about doing this. And you know what? I expected huge resistance. You know what they've done? They've cheered us on. Because we realize that the world's changing. And we need to create some new models of being church. We need to use our resources and our staff more effectively. Now, I know you'll have a lot of questions about that. And I understand that. And we'll begin to roll it out later on. But for now, I just wanted you to be brought into the discussions that are happening in our leadership team. And begin to think through them and begin to pray for them. My hope is you really take seriously being a part of this church and praying for the ministry of this church. At the end of the day, here's what we want. We want to send out disciples of Jesus Christ into the world. We want them to be people who are joyfully serving Christ. We want to be people who make friends with other Christians and those become sources of encouragement, accountability, and deep joy. We want people who actively grow in their faith. We want people who come here and worship and just enjoy that process of learning and singing and being a part of all that God's doing. We want people at the end of the day who invite. And when they invite, that there's a community there that welcomes those people they've invited. And we want to do that effectively. You all are a part of this. We're all in this together. We've been really wrestling with how to do this. If you are down south part of town, somewhere down at the end of Brody, if you're in Buda, if you're in Kyle, you're going to be invited to a get-together later on. We're going to talk seriously about what it would take to do that down there. If you're out Dripping Springs Way, if you're out 290, you're going to be invited this fall to a group to really talk seriously. Does it mean you have to go to that multi-site? No. What it means is we need your input so that we can understand those communities better, so we can understand how to minister to them. So, all that said, God's taken us good places. I'm so excited about this fall. I'm so excited about the things that are happening here. I'm so excited about the way in which our families are being ministered to. And so as we go to our time of Scripture today, we're going to do it very briefly, because I know you're looking at the clock going, does Larry have 30 minutes in him after this? And so I want to pray for us. I just want to introduce our fall sermon series real quickly. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this church. And I pray that you would be with us as we make really big decisions about where we're going next. Lord, we realize that the planning and the infrastructure piece is only in order to help us live out the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And yet it is such an important piece. Help us to be good stewards. Bring the right people along to think strategically about how we might minister the city, how we might minister the people you bring us, how we might care for our kids. Help us to do that, Lord. Put our minds to it so that we might follow you with great strength in the years to come. Lord, we thank you for all these things, and we pray them all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn to our scripture.